So you probably heard the story, Medusa. And Medusa, you know, is from, I mean, we probably studied her back in seventh grade. And if you remember, she's the lady with the snakes, this is her hair. And when people looked at her, they turned to stone. In some situations, you know, we get glimpses of Medusa, and they can also turn us to stone. And there's two different versions of how Medusa became this monster that we make her out to be. In one version of the story, it's due to vanity, and she was so vain that she was turned into this monster that turned people who looked at her into stone. And in the other version, it was from a loss of innocence. In the temple of Athena, the temple of the goddess of wisdom, and she was raped. And in both versions, you know, people who looked upon her were frozen. And so Medusa lived in a broken temple by the sea. And all around this temple were statues that are strewn about in different positions, some with looks of horror or surprise. Some may not even been known what they were looking at. Some might have even been looking for what they gazed into. And so Medusa wandered the halls of this broken temple, her snakes out of her head, and they made these sounds. They whispered different thoughts that she had to listen to. But miles away was Perseus. And Perseus lived in this kingdom where the king who had come into power had fallen in love with his mother. And so he had kidnapped his mother. And the king wanted to marry her, but he knew he could not do so with Perseus around. And of course, Perseus was ready to fight to get his mother back. But the king said, "Look, you can have her, but first you must pass a quest." And of course, he thought he was sending Perseus on a losing adventure, a losing quest. And what he told him is, "To free your mother, you must bring me back the head of Medusa." Well, Perseus was really smart. You know, he didn't just head out to find Medusa. He knew with the king and his army, he couldn't just grab his mother either, so he went for some advice. And he went to Hermes. If you remember Hermes, he's the guy with the winged sandals that flapped. And he was the messenger god, but he was also the guide to the underworld. And so he knew the underworld quite well. He traversed it with those sandals of his. And so Perseus showed up and said, "Hey, you know, I have to go. I'm going to go, you know, get the head of Medusa." And Hermes said, "Well, you know, don't, whatever you do, don't look her, look at her. Don't look at her. But here, I have a few things for you." And so Hermes gave him his sword, you know, to lop off Medusa's head, but he also gave him his sandals. And he said, "Well, you know, use these sandals. These sandals will know exactly where she is and will help take you to them. These sandals will help you hunt her down." And Perseus thanked Hermes and he went ahead and then he headed over to the goddess Athena. And he went to see Athena and he told Athena, you know, where he was going to go and the quest he was embarking upon. And Athena, in turn, told him, "Whatever you do, don't look at Medusa. Don't look at her. But here, I have some things for you to take with you." And the first thing she gave him was a shield. And the shield, she said, was for protection as well as reflection, so that he could see her when she was coming down the hall or gaze around a corner. And the second thing she gave him is a burlap sack so that he could put Medusa's head inside of that. And the third thing is she gave him two empty vials for the blood of Medusa. Well, Perseus thanked her for these items and he headed out to find Medusa. And sure enough, the winged sandals took him flying all the way up through the air, all the way over to the broken temple of Medusa. And when he got there, he knew he had to find her before she found him. And so he began to track her. Sometimes, like people began tracking what they're looking for in their birth or looking for in a certain experience, he began to just look at the way the people who were frozen happened to be scattered and positioned. He started to listen for the sounds of Medusa coming down the hall. The light, the way it shone through the rooms. And he tracked her down. Sure enough, he could hear her coming in. It's like he could feel her coming in his whole body. And he lifted up his shield so that he could see her when she came through the doorway. And the moment he did, he went ahead and took the sword and he lopped off Medusa's head. Sometimes that can be a struggle, and sometimes it can just be a fast, clean cut. And he was very careful, even after he took that head off, not to stare directly at her. And he fumbled around on the floor and he could hear the snake still whispering. The thoughts, the beliefs, the things that they whispered all the time into Medusa's ears. And he took that head and he shoved it in the burlap sack where he could still hear the whispering snakes. And then what was amazing is from the body of Medusa was born Pegasus. You know, Pegasus, the winged horse, just flew right out of her body. And also Cryosaur, the winged boar, they both flew away. And of course, those are other stories. The beauty born of this body of Medusa. And then Perseus, as instructed, took those vials that he was given by Athena. And from the left side of her body, he collected the blood of Medusa. And that was poison. And from the right side of the body, he collected the blood. And that blood had the power to heal or resurrect. And he took those vials and he sealed them well. And he headed home. And of course, as the stories go, there are many more adventures between, you know, this broken temple of Medusa's and home. But eventually, he got there. And when he did, he went up to the king in the court and he brought the burlap sack and he said, Here's the head of Medusa. The king laughed. And he laughed. He's like, show it to me. I don't believe you. And so Perseus went ahead and reached inside the sack and he turned his head the other direction and lifted up Medusa's head. And the king and his entire court were turned to stone. And thus Perseus was able to free his mother, free that part of himself, that caretaker. And then, once he did that, he went ahead and returned the items that he had taken for his journey. And he went to Hermes and he thanked him for the sandals and he gave him a sword. And then he went to the goddess Athena and he thanked her and he gave her the burlap sack with the head of Medusa and the empty vials and the shield. And then Athena, in turn, took those items. And she first went to go visit Asclepius. I don't know if you remember Asclepius, but Asclepius was this demigod physician who worked on the battlefield. You might have heard about or seen Asclepius's staff, you know, the physician's staff. They're not really sure where the snakes came from, of course, but we could guess. And so Asclepius, he worked on the battlefield, and he was to sort what needed to die and be left to die. And he also sorted what needed to be healed and resurrected. And he took these vials, and this is what he did. And this sorting is something that we too might do in our own life, in our own head, maybe while we sleep, letting things die, bringing health to the places that serve us. And then Medusa, the head of Medusa, was taken. And if you remember, you know, with all these Greek gods and goddesses, they all have like this long list of things, you know, and different titles. And Athena was, yes, the goddess of wisdom, but she's also the goddess of battle and heraldry, goddess of war. And what she did is when she went into battle, she went ahead and she took that head of Medusa and she mounted it on her chest. She put it on her warrior breastplate. And that is how she rode into battle. It was Medusa with this thing that froze us, this thing that has been a powerful factor, right there on her chest as she rode forward. You know, the Greeks of that time period actually did have Medusa's face emblazoned on their shields as they too rode into battle.